Yeah, in the world of artificial intelligence, changing technology and all the rest of it, one of the greatest safe havens that human beings can go to is something called creativity. It's something that AI won't necessarily be able to replicate in any real sense anytime soon. And if one talks about Red and Yellow Business School, they've produced astounding alumni. Now, those who lead industries and contribute towards marketing, advertising, and communication sectors alike. And yeah, that is a school you've probably heard about on this particular platform. And the man behind it is Rob Stokes. He is the CEO of Red and Yellow Business School. And he joins you today to talk about his journey. Rob, great having you on the show.
Good morning, Kino. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful stuff, man. Let's first talk about Red and Yellow as a business school. Just talk about your core, your key value proposition, why you exist.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's evolved over the years. Red and Yellow actually was started way before my time in 94 by the founders of Ogilvy South Africa, who I think after winning all the creative awards they were to win, and started a school that was really aimed at readying people for the marketing and advertising industry. I became chairman of Red and Yellow 3 years ago, and in that time we've evolved it beyond just marketing and advertising.
Okay, Rob, I want to hear your story. I'm going to ask Bruce to get me a clear line so we can hear what you're saying there. By the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Rob Stokes there. I'm Kino Cummings, by the way, with you until midday. But Rob Stokes is chairman and CEO of the Red and Yellow Business School. He's talking about the evolution of this particular school, starting out as a totally creative school at the beginning. And Rob, so we just lost a couple of words there. Let's pick it up from the evolution, out of the creative side of things into where you are now, which is still creative, but different. Okay, let's try and get Rob on again. Seem to have a problem. There we go. Rob, now I can hear you. Go for it.
Great. Sorry about that. Creativity and creative thinking is very much central to what we do at Red and Yellow. Where it's evolved over the last few years is we're now producing a broader business student and not just a marketing and advertising student.
Yeah.
Because as we've realized, and as you teed up at the beginning, in a world of artificial intelligence, which is coming upon us fast, the last bastion of human value is creative thinking. In business, that's innovation, very simply. And it's where businesses grow. And we really do feel that over the next generation, robots are going to take out the most mundane and routine types of work.
Yeah.
But when humans have the opportunity to really stand head and shoulders is creative thinking, and that's what we do best, teaching business leaders to think creatively.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can have the best artificial intelligence. It still needs to live in a human system. And if humans don't buy into it, it won't get very far. Bottom line.
Yeah, I think what makes artificial intelligence very difficult for computers, or sorry, what makes creative thinking very difficult for artificial intelligence is that they aren't human. And so much of being creative is understanding the human condition and the world in which we work and operate and be able to piece disparate bits of information together to come up with a new idea. Once that formula has been put together, computers can repeat it a number of times, but it's that first golden nugget that creates businesses with tens of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yep.
You need humans at the beginning of that. And that's what we think we are serving the world with, by producing those people.
Well, exactly. I mean, in chaotic systems, AI can't work effectively. Unstructured human communication, they can't operate effectively. And what I was alluding to as well is, when you take that AI, and let's say you take the automation and you put it in a business, people still have to interact with it, because it's about human computer systems, where the AI does what the computers do best and the humans do what they do best. And you can't take the human out of the equation in any way when it comes to business and the business on the whole, surely.
Look, you can take humans out of a lot of things.
Yes.
There's a lot of back office processes, things like payroll and routine HR and legal tasks that computers, frankly, just don't get bored, and they don't get sick, and they work 24 hours a day, and they can do it. But I think augmenting what makes humans unique and augment with what makes computers unique, that's really where the opportunity lies. And I think it's very relevant for South Africa, because the world has changed a lot in the last generation, and it's very much moved towards a digitally driven society. Mm. And unfortunately, our education system has not kept pace with that. Oh, we are still training people for the second industrial revolution, and now some people say we're on the fourth. I still think it's the third, but it's a moot point. And we really run a risk, I believe, as a nation of getting left behind. You know, our president loves to talk about the importance of agriculture. I think that's a dead-end game. I mean, robots will replace farm workers much quicker than most industries. Mm-hmm. And we need to be building industrial strengths and competitive advantage around intellectual property and the work of the minds, not the work of the hands. And that's what makes artificial intelligence so powerful, is that unlike other industrial revolutions, we're replacing brains and not hands. And brains are so multidimensional.
Yep.
Hands tend to be quite limited in what they can do. It's about strength and power and dexterity. And increasingly, robots have got that. And I think there's an opportunity for South Africa to use technology to really advance our people very quickly. But it's going to take resources, and it's going to take a brave new approach, which, frankly, I'm not seeing. I mean, yes, we're doing it in red and yellow, but it's not nearly enough. You know, we've got a few hundred students a year. We need to be bringing this kind of thinking into hundreds of thousands of students a year.
Well, you should be investing in a high school. But anyway, Rob, I want to talk more about Rob Stokes, the person behind the title, and a little bit about your journey to where you are right now.
Well, I think that the most astounding thing for me in my journey has been the discovery of the impact of purpose. Before Red and Yellow, I ran a digital marketing agency, and we grew it. It was very successful. We sold it to a big listed company, and that was great. And I realized in hindsight the fun I got out of that journey was really about seeing the people around me succeed and do well. And it's very fulfilling to me to see how the old Quirk team, post-Quirk, have really gone on to do amazing things. Mm. But the truth is that as a marketing agency, your ability to influence the world in a very positive and constructive sense is limited. It's not zero, but it's limited. Sure. Whereas at a school, you are there for purpose. I read a stat the other day that the profession that does the most overtime in the world is teachers. And that kind of sums it up. Yeah. And teachers don't think of themselves as overworked. Okay, some do. But they are there for purpose. They're not there for money. And what I have discovered, and I really hope to bring this lesson to other business leaders, is that purpose is the wind in the sails of business. Once your business has got a genuine underlying purpose, it becomes so much easier to build a great organization than when you're constantly having to pull the people back into, why am I here? What difference am I making in the world? And so many organizations have got very little purpose that connects people back into that, into society. And I think particularly millennials and the generations that come after them are very much wanting to leave an impact on the world, a positive impact, because they've seen the devastation, frankly, that's come before them. I mean, the baby boomers haven't been the kindest to the planet.
Oh, no. Honest.
And so increasingly the workforce wants that purpose. And when an organization can find it, as we have with Red and Yellow, it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of. One thing that makes Red and Yellow, I think, quite unique is that we have this social promise. At least 10% of our students don't have to pay for themselves. And we routinely exceed that by 50%, but it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice. And if we had to try and do that level of sacrifice and hard work in a business without an underlying purpose, I think it would be impossible.
Yeah.
And yet I feel so many business leaders have missed the opportunity that purpose can provide their business. And it's a commercially viable, it's a profitable opportunity. Mm. And you get to do good in the world and have a lot of fun in the process, and make a living in the process. And for me, that trifecta is something that I think as a nation we do very well if we could get more businesses and business leaders to really apply their minds to that opportunity.
And, I mean, essentially it's also about the people, isn't it? Because a lot of business people, when you talk about the purpose of the business, that discussion's had in the boardroom, and then everybody else who works for them gets told, oh, this is the purpose, by the way, you better follow suit. Hey, it's the purpose. But everybody needs to be taken on that particular journey. So it's very important how you take your staff along in helping to 100%. Craft that at the end of the
day. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to manufacture purpose.
Well, exactly.
It's either there or it's not. And look, it can be retrofitted. I mean, it's an incredible example of Exxaro. You know, they're an industrial mining organization, and have really reinvented themselves around energy for the future and leaving a legacy of quote-unquote dirty energy behind, knowing that it's going to be a part of their business for a while, but have galvanized their people around what could we be and what is this incredible vision of the world look like that we want to get behind. And suddenly you've got you know, folks who are used to working in a very industrial kind of don't care environment really excited about creating a new type of organization. And to be able to turn an organization like that around on that basis is a phenomenal achievement. You just couldn't do it without purpose.
That is true. Now, purpose. Let's stick with purpose and the purpose of CEOs and leaders in organizations, and also alluding to what I mentioned earlier, taking people along with you. I mean, one CEO I've got a lot of time for as well is Bonang Mohale. I don't know if you read the book, but he's got a wonderful book. I think it's called, well, I always get it wrong. It's Lift As You Rise, I think is the name of the book. And he talks about, you know, the journey as a CEO, as you grow. You take people along with you. Richard Branson talks about that as well, where a secretary can potentially become a CEO of a business because everybody's important.
I really do believe that. I've really galvanized myself around the phrase that the job of a leader is to help those around them be the best version of themselves.
Yep.
And again, I apply that back to purpose. If you can support your people in being the best version of themselves, and their desire is to achieve the purpose underlying the organization, everything else just seems to fall into place. It suddenly stops being hard. And I must say, as a leader, it's not always easy because, especially me, I generally feel like I know all the answers. And I have to have the discipline to sit back and say, actually, I've brought this person in because they're smart, they're better than me. I need to support them and let them be great and not try and do their job for them. It's not easy, but with some discipline, you can make progress.
Yeah, I don't think, what do you call them? I don't think a micromanager has, as a result of his or her actions, inspired any level of greatness, quite frankly. But Rob Stokes, just listening to your passion, you know, it's we talk about the institutions we go into and we frequent and the people we do business with. And if we have more leaders like you, I think this country would be a better place. We don't all know the answers to everything, but I think that is part of the solution, knowing where your strengths are. Absolutely. And I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
And you should check it out. Eh? It's called redandyellow.co.za. Wonderful school. And it's and, not that millennial thing. Hey, it's and, A-N-D. We still spell out fully. Huh? Redandyellow.co.za. Rob Stokes, CEO at the Red and Yellow Business